Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in the scriptures, I'm going to pick up from where I left off last week with the subject, to glory in the Lord. This is part two, and I'll finish up this today. But if you didn't hear last week's message, I urge you to get it. You can order it or get it off of our website at Reign of Grace. And talking about Jeremiah chapter 9, if you want to turn there, Jeremiah 9, this was my text last week, and I'll just reread it and make some comments. What we're trying to understand is, what does it mean to glory in the Lord? Where is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? I dealt with a lot of that last week. And the glory of God is basically the revelation of God's nature, His character, who God is. That which sets God apart from anyone or anything else. There's no other gods like Him. There's one God, the Scripture says. And that glory of God is revealed in what God reveals of Himself in His Word. Whatever this book says about God, that's His glory. And it's true. And there's so many people today who call themselves Christian who denies these aspects of the glory of God that He reveals here. For example, His sovereignty. Very few people today understand the sovereignty of God. God is a God who works all things after the counsel of His own will. And then His revelation of Himself in the gospel as both a just God and a Savior. Yes, God is a loving God, and His love is His glory, but not at the expense of His justice. God is a merciful God. His mercy is His glory, but not at the expense of His truth. He must be true to Himself. He must punish sinners to whom sin is imputed. That's why it's the glory of God to find a way that His people can stand before Him not having their sins charged to them, and do it in a just way, a righteous way, a truthful way. And of course, that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a gracious God, but not at the expense of His righteousness. And so Jeremiah, he writes here, he said in his prophecy, look at verse 23, let's reread this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but him that glorieth, glory in this. Now remember, glory is like, to glory in something is like boast in it. That's something you place your confidence in. Let him that glorieth, glory in this, and listen to it, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Now how are you going to understand and know God? Somebody says, well, we can't understand God. No. We cannot understand the fullness and the depth and the height and the breadth of God's glory, but we can understand what God teaches us. That's what the Bible says. The Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. Now, the natural man won't receive the things of the Spirit of God. He can't know them. He can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. But when God reveals Himself, and how does God do that? He reveals Himself in His Word, and He reveals Himself in the person and work of Christ. And so we can understand what God teaches us. If God says that He's a sovereign God who chose a people before the foundation of the world in Christ to save, well, that's His glory. Now, for me to deny that is not, I'm certainly not glorifying God. You know, most people today, their gospel goes something like this, that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, now you make the decision. Well, that's not what this book says about God. No, sir. When it says, for God so loved the world, it's not talking about everybody without exception. It's talking about believers there. Those who God brings to faith in Christ, because Christ has done what was required, met every condition for their salvation. So he says, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. And the word Lord there, the title Lord is the God of salvation, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. Now, how does he do that? Through Christ, the salvation of sinners, by his grace through Christ, in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And then last week I dealt with this verse here over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the apostle, when he's talking about his glory, and he says in verse 6, this is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now that's the God of creation. And so what we see there is that God's glory is the revelation of himself in his attributes, who he is, but also in what he does. If God does a work, it is a work that glorifies himself. And certainly, we see the glory of God in the creation of the universe, the creation of the world. In beginning, God created the world, created the earth. And that was God's work, and it was God's great work. And we see his glory, we see his wisdom, his power. We see all of that. But he says, the same God who created the world, he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Now, what is this shining in the heart? What is the heart? It's the mind, the affection, the will. And in whose heart has God shined to give the knowledge, he says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Now, in whose heart has God shined forth to give that knowledge of Christ? In the heart of his chosen people, his redeemed people, his church. In the heart of all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you are in unbelief today, and you remain in unbelief unto death, the glory of God did not shine forth in your heart. That's the key. The shining forth in the heart, that's the light, the truth, the revelation of God given to those who are born again by the Spirit. Christ said, you remember, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom, you cannot understand the kingdom of God and enter it. Well, when you're born again by the Spirit, born from above, he gives you a new heart. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, you were servants of sin, you were unbelievers, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And so that's what he's talking about here. The light. Now here's what he's saying. It is in the person and finished work of Christ that God glorifies him in the highest. Remember when Christ was born the angel came up and said, glory to God in the highest. In this person, God in human flesh without sin, God would be glorified in the highest way, even more so than in creation, even more so than in providence. And so that's the glory of God. It's in the person and work of Christ. And that's summarized in the phrase, the righteousness of God. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What is the righteousness of God? It's his glory in the salvation of his people by his grace through the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of his people. On that cross, God glorified himself in the highest, because it was there that Christ stood as surety of his people, that is, having the sins of God's chosen people imputed charge to him. It was on that cross that Christ took their place. You see, he bore the iniquities of his people. They were imputed, charged, accounted to him. The sin debt was laid to his account, and it was on that cross that he paid the debt in full with the price of his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And it was on that cross, in his death, that he established a righteousness, a perfection, justice, that by which God could justify sinners like me and like his people without denying or ignoring any of his attributes. He's both a just God and a Savior. That's his glory. Now the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now what is the glory of God? It's the person and work of Christ. And what that verse means in Romans 3:23 is that no matter how much we try, no matter how good or righteous we try to be, we come short of the glory of God that can only be found in Christ. You see, the glory of God is in the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we come to God expecting Him to save us or bless us or accept us based on anything other than Christ's righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to us, the work of Christ, the merit of Christ imputed, charged, accounted to us, we're not glorifying God, we're boasting in something else. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. Now, a lot of people would say something like this. Well, to give glory to God means to give God credit. Just give God credit for whatever it is that we're giving Him credit for. Well, what we have to understand, and this is what, you know, we have to understanding God, how God reveals Himself. You may be giving God credit for something He doesn't want credit for. And let me show you two examples of that in Scripture. The first one is in Matthew chapter 7. And it begins at verse 21. This is the closing words of the Sermon on the Mount. And it says here in Matthew 7:21, the Lord Himself speaking, He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, or praise the Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now understand, the will of the Father which is in heaven is to believe on the Son, the Scripture says. To plead His blood. Plead His righteousness. Verse 22. "Many will say to me that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in your name, in thy name." Now whatever these fellows are saying, they say, we didn't do it in our name, we're doing it in your name, Lord. And somebody might say, well, they didn't really mean it. Well, you don't know that. That's not what the point is. The context bears this out. They were giving credit to Him for their preaching. He said in verse 20, they say in verse 22, "And in thy name have cast out devils." We did it in the name of the Lord. "And in thy name done many wonderful works." Now, remember back up in verse 21? Or verse 22, he says, "Many will say to me in that day." What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of judgment. The day of judgment. Now, many will stand before Christ in the day of judgment, and they'll say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in your name?" And he'll say to them in verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now what does all that mean? You say, well, they weren't sincere enough, or they didn't really mean it. You don't, first of all, they were sincere and they did mean it. And there's nothing in the context that would lead you to believe that. But let me ask you this question. When you stand before the Lord at judgment, are you going to plead your sincerity? Are you going to say, well, Lord, I really meant it? No. And well, if you do, you'll hear the same words. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. What was the problem? They claimed to be giving him credit for everything. They claimed to be glorying in the Lord, but they weren't, because they were pleading what they thought God had enabled them to do as the ground of their salvation. Here they are standing at judgment. Think about this. What is the standard by which God will judge in the day of judgment? Now remember over in Jeremiah 23 and 24, he talked about glory in this, that they understand me. And let's read it again, just to make sure that we get this correct. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 23, he said, that they understand and understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. Yes, there is love in God, but judgment also, and righteousness. Now, what is the standard of judgment? Well, Acts 17:31 says it plainly. There are all kinds of verses that state this, but one of them is Acts 17:31. And it says this, that God, there's coming a day in which God will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The standard of judgment in the day of judgment is the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And so when you look at passages like Matthew 7, and here these fellows are saying, Lord, verse 22, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now right now, as I sit here before you, I am preaching in the name of the Lord. That's what I'm doing. Now I've never cast out devils, but they did. They said, we've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. Now here's my question. Did their preaching and their casting out devils and their many wonderful works, did that equal the perfection of righteousness that Christ established in His obedience unto death on the cross? And the answer is no. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word sin there in Romans 3:23 means to miss the mark. You've come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short. He said, you that work iniquity. What does it mean to work iniquity? It means to come short. It means that your works don't measure up. You see, here's what I'm saying, folks. Nothing that we do, nothing that I do, nothing that God enables me to do. Now, and listen, you read the Bible and you talk about believers and unbelievers. God enables His people to do many wonderful, miraculous things. Number one, He enables us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. He enables us to repent. He enables us to persevere. But those things are not my righteousness before God. My only righteousness before holy God is Christ's righteousness imputed to me. And when I stand before God in the day of judgment, I'm not going to say, well, Lord, I preached on television for years. I pastored a church. I helped people. And I thank you for it. I gave you the credit. No, I'm going to plead Christ, His blood. Nothing. What can wash away my sins? Christ's blood in my preaching? No, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's the same thing as His righteousness, His perfect satisfaction to the justice of God. So to glory in the Lord is to come before Him as a sinner, pleading, begging for mercy based upon the one righteousness that was accomplished by my substitute, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer on that cross. Let me show you another example of somebody who was giving credit to God for something God didn't want credit for. And it's in the book of Luke chapter 18. This is the parable that the Lord spoke of the Pharisee and the publican. And it says in verse 9 of Luke 18, it says, He spoke this parable unto certain, or certain people, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, when it talks about being righteous there, it's talking about a person who claims to be saved and despising others. They're talking about others who are not saved. And then he gives this parable. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now listen very carefully, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, or by himself, God, I thank thee. Now what's he doing here? He's thanking the Lord. He's giving credit to God. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And he says in verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I thank thee, God, that I do this. I'm giving credit to God. But then in verse 13, here's the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Christ says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. This publican, this infamous sinner, went down to his house justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be forgiven of all my sins. It means that God does not charge me with my sin. He doesn't impute sin to me. The Bible says that who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That's what it is to be justified, made right with God, accepted, righteous in God's sight. And he said, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now here's the Pharisee. He says, I thank God that I am what I am. I'm not like this publican. And here's what I do. God has enabled me to do that. What was wrong with that? You know, we've often made the statement that I think it was one of the pilgrims who was watching an infamous sinner hang. He was caught stealing or doing something, or maybe he was a murderer. And under the justice of the law, they were hanging the man. And I believe it was this pilgrim. I can't remember which one. He looked at that man being hung on by the neck until death, and he said, there but for the grace of God go I. And you know, in essence, that's the same as saying, I thank God I'm not like him. I could be like him. You know, if every true believer understands his sinfulness to a point to know that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And if God were to remove his grace from me, I would be damned forever. If God were to judge me based upon my best efforts to please him, I would be damned forever. I come short in every way. I have one hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I thank God that I'm not out here as a murderer, committing the actual act of murder. That I'm not out here as a drug pusher. I thank God. But that's not my righteousness before God. That's the grace of God. That's the blessings of God. That's the power of God in me. But it's not my righteousness. What is? Who is? Christ is my righteousness. And that's what the publican, when he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, that's what he essentially said. That word be merciful there, in the original, it would be translated this way. It would be, Lord, be propitious. What is a propitiation? It's a justice-satisfying substitute who brings forth righteousness that demands my salvation. And so the publican is asking God to be merciful to him based upon justice-satisfied in the mercy seat, who is Christ. And that's what it is to give glory to the Lord. So I hope you see that. Well, look at Galatians 6. I mentioned this verse last week, and I wanted to come back to it in closing here. This is Galatians 6 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul makes this statement, "But God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast." What is it to glory in the Lord? It's to come before Him as a sinner, like that publican, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Have mercy upon me. I don't have anything to recommend me unto you. I plead the blood of my Savior. I plead the righteousness of Christ, His righteousness imputed, a righteousness that I had no part in producing." And so Paul writes, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's why he said, "I strive to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is the person and work of Christ. My hope is in not in who I am or what I've become. It's not in anything that I've done to be or anything that I've done to improve myself. It's not even in my decision. My hope is in the person and the finished work of Christ, the righteousness of God. And he says, "By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." My relationship with the world is now different. Why? Because I glory in one thing, the cross. I don't glory in my religion. I don't glory in my church attendance. I don't glory in my baptism. I don't glory in my decision. I glory in Christ. And that gives me another, I'm in a different relationship with the world. They look upon me as cursed, and I look upon them as cursed. You see, the only thing that matters here is what is my righteousness before God? It's Christ. And out of that righteousness, I stand justified before God, forgiven of all my sins, sin not imputed to me. And out of that righteousness, I have life from God, the Holy Spirit, giving me a new heart. That's what it is to glory in the Lord. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.